You want Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's gets it. We checked the calendar, and Christmas is coming early. $99 is all you need to grab your favorite select 7-foot pre-lit artificial Christmas tree for the holiday season. And don't sweat what gifts to get Dad, because we've got up to 40% off select tools and accessories. That's how Lowe's celebrates Black Friday early. Selection varies by location while supplies last.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today. Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Let's move on to the Gilgo Beach murders. They've, of course, haunted Long Island now for several decades. 11 sets of remains found along Ocean Parkway. Community desperately searching for answers. Families waiting for justice. And now Rex Heerman, the architect from Massapequa, stands accused of killing seven women between 1993 and 2011. His push to split the charges into separate trials have been denied. That means one jury will hear all of it, from the earliest murder in 93 to the discovery of bodies along the highway in 2010. Jennifer Coffendaffer with us to help break down this investigation, the forensic, the psychological layers of all of this moving forward. What was your take on this, where the judge ruled that all seven counts are going to be tried together? Prosecutors have argued that the murders were inextricably interwoven. And, well, I mean, the court agreed.
You know, it's such a balancing act between the prejudice that it can create in trying to show all this information from all seven, when many of the places, the dates, obviously the people were quite different. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, the defense is saying, you cannot do this to me. You can't do this to my client. This is so unfair. These were separate occasions, separate instances. And if you bring in the other six, well, of course, they're going to get a conviction, because they're going to say, oh my gosh, this is a serial killer. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the prosecution, as you well pointed out, is saying, no, they are so much alike. The MO was alike. The area was similar. The persons that were targeted were all people that provided sexual services. So really, it's all one. I got to tell you, though, I was pretty surprised. I mean, take a look at, you know, a case you know so well is Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell. Split. Mm-hmm. They're too prejudicial, right? And that's one that, to me, should have been kept together.
Yeah.
You look at this and you say, you know, all these years apart, it's a win for the prosecution.
It seems to be right now. I'll say that. But the more I look at that, I mean, yes, there are a lot of similarities, but we're talking two decades. all the way to 93 to 2010. We're talking different methods of killing. You do have some that are similar. You got the handful that have the burlap sacks with Huerman's hair and stuff. And look, I think there's a good chunk of these that, yes, without a doubt, I think you can nail Huerman on. But when you start introducing other ones that may not quite have the strong of evidence on them, and they are just other, and I'm not trying to denigrate the women by any means, but they're other sex workers who have been killed. And look, they find a lot of sex workers who have been killed in New Jersey and in Long Island and New York. I mean, just by mass population, you're going to find more bodies in different places because there's so many damn people. To lump them all together, could that be a misstep where it may not necessarily work in the favor of them, where the jury's not just going to go eventually and say, well, it's a serial killer because this and this and this. People don't trust law enforcement all that much these days, and rightfully so, especially in this area of the country where you had this case not being investigated for 10 years because of a corrupt officer, because of the corrupt chief for all of that time. So if they're being fed this, and we really think it's this, and then this kind of week over here on some of these, I could see a jury going and saying, well, these don't really seem to add up that much. These ones kind of do, but how do we believe your solid ones over here when you're trying to give us the same bill of goods on these, and it's clearly not the same bill of goods?
Well, I do think, Tony, there's a lot that we still don't know, right?
Yeah.
This case was indicted, so we didn't have a preliminary hearing.
Yeah.
Haven't seen a vast amount of the evidence, I think, that is going to be shown. And so there can be other links that we just don't know about. But I agree that I think as a prosecutor, I would have asked for this, hoping that I got the moon, which they did.
Mm-hmm.
But it wouldn't have bothered me as a prosecution team to have the ones that were more contemporaneous in time and showed the exact MO to be lumped together, and the ones that weren't to be held separate. Do I think it's going to be a critical error? I don't know if on appeal down the road, if there's a conviction, yeah. But also keep in mind, Tony, gosh, this is one of those cases where the evidence is unbelievable.
Yeah.
The DNA, that ruling came earlier that the DNA is coming in.
Yeah. And yes. And we can talk about that in a moment with the new DNA ruling, but that's my point. I mean, there is a slam dunk on some of these, but just there's an element to this case where it feels like, well, we got these unsolved ones. We better get those off of our docket. So let's just add them in. That's not the way to solve a crime. And it denigrates the value of the human lives that have been taken as well. Let me ask you this, and this is an opinion question. If these had not been sex workers over the course of almost, 20 some years, if one had been an attorney, if one had been a teacher, if one had been a sex worker, the other had been whatever, insert any other type of job here that doesn't involve doing things that are illegal for money. Do you think it would have been a trial that's going to combine all these people, or would it have been separate murder trials?
Well, let me say this. If they would have been lawyers, teachers,
yeah,
whatever, homemakers.
Sure.
This case would have been solved so much earlier.
Uh-huh.
Rex Huerman needs credit from this standpoint. He absolutely chose a trade that was so easy to murder and have swept under the rug because nobody knew where they were at typically. Nobody cared where they were at typically. And it was typical for them to not want to be known. Uh-huh. By anybody where they were at. So you add that all together, and that's probably the biggest problem with this case is how historic it is. And yeah. So this was an important coup for the prosecutor, Tony, because as you said, and I know what you're getting at, you can't just say, oh, because you have a sex worker that's dead. Oh, yeah. Rex Huerman's over here. Let's throw him the bone.
I feel like that kind of almost plays into my point, though, too, where it's like, yeah, Rex Huerman knew that. So do other people. So do other criminals and other horrible people who would go and take the lives of people like this because they view them less as human. It's not any sort of secret that these sort of cases don't get the investigation that they deserve as human beings. So it's not shocking to think that other people were murdered by other human beings. I mean, how often is it that you have a serial killer that stabs, strangles, dismembers each victim differently and at different dump sites? I mean, typically you have some sort of a regular MO going on here. I know some are a bit different, but it is kind of an oddity that all these are different. Maybe he evolved over time. I don't know. But again, I feel like it's another argument that the defense has.
Oh, the defense has some good arguments here. I don't think they're going to hold water against the DNA and other evidence, but they have some good. And you just pointed out one. But remember, as I mentioned earlier, dismemberment typically occurs because of the practicality of it, of the goal of it, which is to hide or otherwise disguise what's been done. In other words, you chop it all up, you send it out to sea, and you hope nobody finds it. Or you start part here and part there, and nobody can really make heads or tails figuring out what happened, right? That's the purpose. And then as killers get better, if you will, at their trade, they find better dump sites. I mean, look at how long this took for some of these bodies to even be found. And then the stage of decomposition that they were at, you're looking at, you know, the peaches tattoo. You know, that's what you've got to work with.
Yeah.
You know, you do get, these people do get better at their trade, if you will, you know, better at committing murder. And I think it's going to be stitched together, though, with DNA and with general MO.
Do you think that, I mean, if they have, because we know we have DNA in some of the bodies, and that's with the hair, and we'll talk about that here in a second. But are they, do you think they're holding back other DNA evidence on these other bodies that they've linked to Huerman, other than the fact that they were on the same beach or nearby other, I mean, I'm curious what's in the cards when this actually does go to trial that's going to connect some of these to Huerman stronger than what we actually know.
I think there could be more DNA. I think that's very likely. Also, I haven't heard much about things that might have been at his house from them. We know the secret room or whatever.
True.
I mean, what would, for instance, I'll give you an example. When the search warrant first happened, and they literally had one of those box trucks, large box trucks pull up to put all this evidence in. There was one thing that came out of that house that always bothered me, and it was a very large scale, like a 3-foot doll.
I know. I can picture it. It's creepy. Yes, it's like a horror movie.
And as I said at the time, listen, there's a reason they took that doll.
Yeah.
Detective, agent wants to take evidence out of a home that you're not going to use. You're sitting in your evidence vault. Once the case is closed, now you're trying to get rid of it. What am I going to do with this? I got to give it back, or I got to have it incinerated. There's all these legal issues you've got to go through. You take evidence because you believe it to be evidence. That made me wonder, is this doll somehow made in any way, shape, or form, whether it's the hair, clothing, go back to these people? That's
oh God.
Because why else do you take the doll? Or if it was used for sexual gratification, which also could have been, but how is it linked to your murder suspects? It's linked, I think.
I mean, it can be more benign than he was making a murder doll out of victims. I mean, that's pretty freaking horrible. That sounds like, that's like a movie.
Look at what he did, Tony.
There was a movie, wasn't there a movie like Bringing Out the Dead or something years ago? There was like that. It could be that. What's that? It silenced the eye. It's Clarice. all the way to the FBI. It could be also, it could be somebody that they have maybe as a witness or something of that nature that had been in the Huerman house that can attest that that doll was there. I mean, just like connecting Huerman, I don't know. I mean, there could be something simple as that of the setting of here's a, but why, I don't know. There could be ways.
Also take the, you know, the mantelpiece and the, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Why wouldn't, but that's a very distinctive piece though, too. I mean, when they go in to get that evidence, when they went in to get the evidence, I should say, in this case specifically, They go in with a manifesto, don't they? Saying, okay, here's everything we're here to get. Or is it at a judgment call of the agents that are going in? Because I would imagine if I'm an agent going in and if I have carte blanche to take whatever the hell I want, I'm taking the doll because it's just creepy.
Okay, first of all, yes, when you have a warrant, no, there's no manifesto.
Okay.
Literally a list that lists all the things that could be indicia of the crime.
Okay.
So, for instance, if one of those is a piece of paper, you're really able to look anywhere where a piece of paper could be. So it's extremely broad, Tony. So certainly that doll would have been covered. And maybe you're right. Maybe they just took it because it is so creepy. And they wondered, this is what I would be wondering, does it have any part of anyone else on it?
Yeah.
That's exactly where my brain would go. Maybe I've just been doing this too long. I never thought that they took it because they wanted it to be matched up with a memory, but you could be right. Maybe
it could be very benign. I mean, it really could, or it could be something really, really disturbingly horrific that horror movies will be made out of for years to come.
The cage. Remember they took the cage?
They did.
Remember that there's a cage that they took. And I'm like, did he cage him? And if he caged them, obviously they're going to be looking for any skin cells, hair, something. It would be years later, but stuff gets caught in the cracks. I don't know. Is he a good cleaner like Brian Koberger? You know?
I wish in that documentary they would have asked Asa and the daughter, where the hell was that doll located in the house? Like, was that in his little hidey hole cave thing under the stairs where maybe they didn't ever see it? Or was it like on display in the living room? That would tell you a little bit more about what this was, you know, depending on where it was displayed. If it was like really hidden away, yeah, I think you might have, I'd be identifying the hair on that doll and wondering what the hell is in that. Let's talk about the hair a little bit. The DNA, they're obviously now allowing some new technology to the genome sequencing on it. It'd be the first time, from what I understand, that it's going to be introduced in a New York court. Does not mean it's not good science. It's just new science. It's a new way. It's technology. We're always finding new ways of breaking down DNA and using it to identify things. It's how it works, and there's going to be a first time for everything. Of course, the defense is going to argue, it's junk science. This is new. It's never been used. How do you think that will play to a jury? Because they're certainly going to try and play it that direction from the defense. How does a jury take it when it comes to, new technology being used in something like this?
Well, in my experience, for instance, when cellular phones, we first got to start using cellular phones as evidence, that was huge. And I tell you, juries just are sitting there in awe. They find all this information that's technological. It's not somebody's opinion. It's not what a witness thinks they saw. It's what can be proven. And so when you look at DNA, I think they're going to be really fascinated. Obviously, it's going to be over a lot of people's heads. I mean, heck, it's over my head when they start, when Cece starts talking about all of it. But it's something that is going to be, I think, something the jury's going to be locked into, and it's going to make them really understand and put together his link, Rex Heerman, to those people that I think is going to be irrefutable.
I do too. I mean, it's solid science. It's just a new way of doing it. And I think when you use terms like, genetic genome sequencing and stuff, I know nothing about what the hell that actually means. But if I were a juror, I'd be like, that sounds pretty official. That sounds like you know what you're doing over there. It may mean nothing at all, but it sounds pretty official. So, I mean, the verbiage is good. I guess they got a good title on it. But obviously, it does mean a lot. The fact that you got Asa's hair on the burlap sacks, you got the daughter's hair on the burlap sacks. Obviously, Heerman's the one that's charged. And they're no longer married. Asa seems to be, at least in that doc that we saw a little while back, still at that point in time, thinking Rex is her hero, and really having a hard time, I think, coming to grips that, your husband may be this person. The daughter, not so much. The daughter seems to be a little bit more coming to terms, if you will. At least that's what it felt like in that documentary. We recently saw in the Adelson trial, we had the one son that escaped the insane family testify against mom. Do you think we're going to see Rex's own daughter come to the stand here when this does go to trial to testify against her father?
You know, nothing surprises me anymore. I really do believe that there was a certain narrative that had to be followed because of that documentary, to be honest with you. I mean, remember, very early on, it did not seem that Asa was at all behind Rex Heerman.
Yeah.
At the very beginning, you know, she wanted a divorce. She seemed completely against him. And then, whoo, the money. Show me the money. Okay. Mm-hmm. To have the money, you're going to have to still be able to visit him. You're going to have to be able to get us some stuff, some information, and we need an interesting slant. And then, you know, you have the documentary. So, I you know, call me callous. I don't necessarily believe that she was that blinded. I'm sorry, I don't.
I don't believe she was that blinded. I wonder... I wonder where this is going to go when it comes to court. She, of course, can do her Fifth Amendment rights and not just say anything to incriminate herself. And she may not have anything to incriminate herself on. Who knows? Obviously, she's never been charged with anything. She maintains her innocence. It would be interesting, though, if we end up seeing a trial here where you have the daughter testifying against dad and you have Asa taking the stand for Rex, especially if she still maintains this level of cognitive ignorance, I would say, almost on Rex of believing he's innocent. I could see her being a witness for him. And I wonder how that could play to a jury with her. Literally, if she does act the way she did in that doc, the jury, I think, could see her really. If she's up there saying, I had no idea any of this was going on, the jury's going to wonder how the hell do you have no idea anything was going on? And if you have no idea anything was going on, then how sure are we that this is him?
Yeah, you know, when you look at this case as an example, another case, Kerry Rawson,
yeah,
Dennis Rader, BTK, that's different because Dennis Rader was not murdering women, bringing them home, doing these things in a secret room in your house. And we've all seen the pictures. This was not a Diddy mansion. And to think that you wouldn't smell, you wouldn't notice, you wouldn't just say, honey, what you got going on? I think you're here. Are you here? Is that you under the stairs? It's so almost ridiculous.
Are you playing with your doll again under the stairs, Rex?
What's happening, Rex? Come
Dinner.
On.
Dinner. I made spaghetti. Come on up.
No, it's, you know, it's just, it looks so bad because of everything that was going on in that house. That's the difference between the Bundys of the world and the other serial killers, the BTKs. You know, they're doing things out from underneath the nose of their families. Yes, yeah. They're sneaking out, but at least they're not doing it underneath the stairwell.
That's true.
And I understand she was supposedly, like, the trips are lining up that mostly she was gone. But, you know, there's other information that maybe she.
I want to know how you're lining up every trip for 20 years to be supposedly. It seems like I don't even know how you get dates on all that going back to 93, you know?
Well, you saw the pack rat situation.
True. Yeah.
I don't know if they ever even threw away like a shoebox receipt. I mean, it's ridiculous. But having said that, her story is hard for someone like me to believe. Mm-hmm. Maybe everybody else is believing it. Having trouble with it. And she's probably having trouble with it.
I have trouble with it too. I have trouble with it. I have a ton of mixed feelings about Asa. We'll see how this all plays out as time goes on. Let me ask you this. This just came to my mind too. Could this be a domino situation?
I don't think so. You mean with Asa getting charged in some way?
After Rex.
I don't think so. I really don't. I mean, you know what it would take for that to happen? It would take Rex Heerman flipping on Asa, that she was a part of all of this. You know, she's going to have some sort of limited immunity, I believe, and very limited, that she has to have been telling the truth. So if Rex would somehow flip on ASA, then I think you could see some very interesting movement within the prosecution, but I wouldn't anticipate that.
Yeah, it'll be fascinating to see what comes out once this actually does get to trial. You're always great at predicting this stuff. Clearly, it's not happening this year. Are you thinking next year? Are you thinking 97? I know I said 97, but I'm thinking 27 or 28.
I'm going to 27.
27. I would go with you on that one. I think, and I'm wondering if we're going to have more bodies added to the list before then, too.
If more bodies are added, then we're going to add more years. But at this point, 27, more bodies, they're going to still be working on it. I mean, who else is out there that could possibly be connected? These guys don't stop. They don't just, I think I'm not going to have a lust and an appetite for this.
I would say the clock is ticking on rats. So I would say sooner than later to get going on this, because I wonder how many years Rex has left in him, quite honestly. So it's a gamble, but it would be a damn shame if they spend all these years getting all this ready to go and, he died in prison today. And yeah.
Tony, I got to tell you, though, isn't it interesting? We've seen the Luigi Mangione lovers, his groupies, they've gone over to Koberger. Kobergers have gone over to the Luigi's. Why aren't they leaving Rex out?
I don't know. I wonder why they don't like Rex. Not as relatable of a character. I don't know. We'll let the maggots go wherever they're going to go, I guess. Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent. As always, thank you for coming on and giving us your insight onto these cases. Let us know your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube, and be sure to press subscribe wherever you're downloading podcasts so you don't miss any of the cases that we cover for you right here. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.